The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
When you turn on the evening news, do you see what you want to see or what you need to see? Welcome to Bread for the Journey, Ordinary People Doing Extraordinary Deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. It seems like more often than not, the good news and people that are making it are buried into a two-minute feature piece near the end of the report. What about giving these people and this kind of news a full hour every week? Now, here's your host, Mariana Cacciatore.
Hello and welcome to Bread for the Journey Radio. I think you're going to love the show today. In honor of a new word one of our guests, Alan Shedland, coined, we're titling the show this week, Daddying. And you'll hear more about that in a few minutes. The relationship a father has with a child is a potent one. Whether a biological father is present or absent, their impact is profound and lifelong, even after they've died. Today we'll talk with three men who are working to bring awareness to men and boys about the potentiality of their life and role as father. These three men work in very different venues and in diverse ways to bring about a warm and nurturing familial relationship between fathers and their kids, biological or otherwise. Aside from being experts in their field, I feel comfortable in saying that all three of these men are friends to me. I admire them as human beings, and today I'll get to share some of the beauty and strength I see in them with all of you. I'd like to begin with bios of each of the men, and then at the end of each one, I'll introduce them and they can say hello, and then I'll go to the next bio. And then after we're finished with all three, we'll begin a dialogue. I'll begin with Alan Shedland. He's been an educator for over 45 years, as well as a freelance writer, parenting coach, and national educational consultant. He's the former principal of the Ethical Culture School in New York City and founding executive director of the National Elementary School Center. Alan is an authority on parenting, education, and child-focused public policy. He served as an advisor to U.S. Secretary of Education William Bennett. His writing on issues related to fathers and families has been widely published in the popular and professional press. Alan is also the founder and president of Real Fathers, Real, R-E-E-L. We did a show on them not too long ago, and if you want to listen to that show all about Real Fathers, you can go to breadforthejourney.org, click on BFJ Radio, and scroll down till you find that story. And as founder and president, he's responsible for national outreach. He collaborates on program design, fundraising, and communications, and he represents Real Fathers on the leadership team for the New Mexico Alliance for Fathers and Families. Alan coined the word daddying in 1994 to describe the convergence of fatherhood and nurturing, and to express that a father is not something you are, but something you do. In 2012, he created the notion of dadvocacy to describe the combination of public, collective, and private individual actions needed to encourage vibrant father engagement. Welcome, Alan, and I'm glad you're on the show today.
Thank you. Thank you for that great introduction.
You're welcome. The next person I'd like to introduce you to is Dr. David Mullen. He's a clinical psychologist, marriage and family therapist, motivational speaker, and college professor. He's a positive psychologist, has spent over 25 years helping individuals live fuller and more satisfying lives. His first book, Living Your Strengths, A Positive Psychology Approach, is an introduction to this important area of contemporary psychology. In his second book, I Did Not Cry for My Father, David hopes to help men of all ages cope with the death of their father and experience some degree of healing. The book explores how a father's death can bring up issues we have not previously explored and how it can help men choose their own parenting style. Welcome, David, and I'm glad you're on the show.
Well, this is Marianne. It's a pleasure to be with you and my colleagues. Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. And my third guest is Galen Logan Jr. He has more than 20 years of experience in nonprofit management with expertise in program conceptualization and developing community outreach curriculum. He's the innovator of a new life coaching model called culture-based coactive coaching. Mr. Logan has coached and mentored more than 300 clients in individual, group, and family settings and is currently the founder and executive director of a nonprofit organization called Village Connect. His vision for Village Connect integrates the success of coaching with an understanding of the importance of culture, identity, and community peer networking. Welcome, Galen. I'm so happy you're on the show with us today.
Thank you, Marianna. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks. So since we already brought up the word daddying, I'm going to open my show with my first question from you, Alan. So tell me, what does daddying mean? Let's start right there.
Okay, well, a number of years back, it was suggested that I write a book on fathering. And for me, fathering meant a one-time biological act requiring zero commitment, just a little donation of DNA. And that isn't something that I felt deserved the full book. And I tried to think about how I would approach writing a book on this theme, and the word daddying came to me. I should say that, you know, and the distinction is really simple, as you said in the introduction. Fathering is a one-time biological act requiring zero commitment. Daddying is a lifelong process requiring lifelong commitment. And it took me, I must say, 2 years to be able to say that word without it sticking in my throat, because so many people had warned me that it would not be well received, that no real man would ever say that word. It was much too wimpy, too soft. And when I conducted my first interview, and I've done now 134 of them, when I conducted my first interview with a father, he was a former Allstate linebacker. He had his second family, and he was head of the diesel engine repair shop of a large metropolitan area for their transit. And the interview took place in the cab of his pickup truck, which had a gun rack on the back and some bud cans on the floor. And I thought, dear God, I'll never say that word daddying to him. He'll open the door and push me out. And what happened was quite remarkable, which was I worked up my courage. I said the word daddying. And within minutes, he was using it himself. And what it seemed to do was the word itself seemed to enable him to be in touch with the side of him that was a little more tender. And so from that moment on, it became a little bit easier. And it's 2 years ago, Hallmark Cards came out with a line of cards for Father's Day on daddying. So I guess that it's no longer something I worry too much about saying.
Well, I would love your permission to use that word all the way through this show today, if that's all right with you.
Well, you know, when somebody said to me, Alan, you should sue Hallmark for stealing your word, my response was quite the opposite. I should actually pay Hallmark for using the word, because I have no pride of ownership at all. The idea is to get the word out there because of what it really means.
Yeah, I love what you just said about just the use of the word elicited a sense of tenderness in him that allowed him to expand his whole idea of parenting.
Yeah, well, that's actually, and I don't want to take up too much time myself because we have two wonderful colleagues on this program as well, but I will say that most people, when they think that you are doing an interview with fathers and that you are talking about their experience as dads, will tell you, when I had a partner say to me once, not my partner, the partner of the dad I was interviewing, how long will this interview take? And I said, well, the average interview takes about an hour and a half to 2 hours. And I got an eye roll from the partner who said, yeah, you get 10 minutes out of this guy, you'll be really lucky. And what I have found is that enabling men to, and providing them the opportunity to talk about their experience as a dad is almost like pulling your finger out of an emotional dike. And I had more trouble stopping them than getting them started. So, wow. Yes, that's my experience. And really curious to hear what David is in his practice and also what Galen's.
Yes, I thought my next question would go to you, Galen. You know, what I know about you and your organization is that you feel very strongly that culture plays a big role in how humans see their role in society. And I'm wondering what the unique cultural issues are that you face in your community as it relates to daddying.
Well, I think first and foremost, let me. I don't want to divert move away from the question, but I really was moved to read and then also to hear the description about we're only a father once, because I think it actually ties into that whole cultural conversation about what does it mean to be a father versus what it does mean to be a daddy. I do know that the experience that I've had working with men. And with boys who may have, in many cases, have had a father or daddy, for that matter, absent, it creates a cultural belief around what it means to be a father. I was told, and I read at some point, that there's three innate desires that a man has without even being told. And that is, one is to provide, and two is to protect, and three is to procreate. And so when a man can't do the first two, then procreation becomes somewhat of a symbol of a sense of self, and that I am somebody. If I can make a baby, if I can be a father. And unfortunately, I think the statistic that Alan had spoken to in his article, I believe, speaks to that when we start talking about how many fatherless children there are in this country.
Yeah, I think the figure was 25 million.
Yeah, that's astonishing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. So why don't you, I want to back up just a little bit, Galen, and David, I'll get to you in just a moment, I promise. But I'd like our listeners to know about the work you are doing, Galen, with Village Connect, and the work you're doing with men and boys.
Well, you know, I think, you know, as drastic and as scary the statistics are, you know, the answers to these problems that we're facing is quite simple. And in many cases, it's what Alan spoke to earlier, is sort of giving men an opportunity to speak on that taboo conversation, which may come across as wimpy. I think if daddying is wimpy, then hell, I'm a wimp. And I'm proud of being well, because it does require you to go to that soft part of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because dadding is not about, you know, a football game. It's not about being, you know, the toughest guy in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Dadding, in many cases, is being able to show that compassion And that love. As a matter of fact, I was in a group last night with a room full of men. And, you know, as Alan spoke to, you know, there's some resistance in the beginning. But once men start talking, once men start feeling, it's hard to stop them.
That's right. That's right.
And that it's that simple, I would say.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to shift a little bit here. We've got 4 minutes before we go to break. So, David, I want you to perhaps tell our listeners a little bit about the synopsis of your book, I Did Not Cry for My Father.
Well, basically the synopsis of the book is that all men search for a father, and that part of their journey is coming to terms with accepting and forgiving the father that they in fact have. And that the other part of the thesis of the book is that often a father's death brings to the forefront unresolved issues that the son may have about the father. And that if these issues aren't resolved, then it becomes an impact on the son's relationship, if he has sons. And so I think that a son has to come to terms with the father that he has, which means accepting, forgiving, and coming to some peace with that, so that he can be a father in a more genuine way to his son, or if he doesn't have any sons, to other young fatherless boys that Alan was talking about, Galen was talking about, because there are many men that do not have a connected relationship with a father, and I think that's very important.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. I was in getting ready for the show today. I came across a poem by Mark Nepo, and the opening line of it is a beautiful line. It's a poem called One Step Closer. And as we depart for our first break of the show, I think I'd like to wrap up this first section with the first stanza from this poem. I think it fits with the work that you've done, David. It's called One Step Closer. I wonder when my father dies, if all the things he couldn't say will fly out of him. If, like a butterfly's wing in the dark of another continent, the things he couldn't face will mount as a wind 1,000 miles away. So I think I'd like to take a break at this point, and when we come back, the three of us will continue this conversation and get much more deeper into things like, actually, what are the benefits of being a good daddy? So please stay with us. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
How do you know if you're living with an addict? If you think you know all the recognizable signs, you probably don't. If you're listening to and reading from the so-called experts, you probably don't. You need to hear from a parent, just like yourself, who has been there and can tell you what it's like firsthand. Please listen to Afflicted by Addiction with Bradley DeHaven. Our program is heard every Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. It just might save your life or the life of someone you love.
9 different energy systems make up the energy body. Energy is all around us and connects us. Energy exerts a major control over our biology and is a big reason why you should be tuning in to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with your host, Dr. Ann Deatley. We'll explore energy balance techniques, tips, and patterns to keep your flow of energy optimal to maintain maximal health. By adopting these techniques, you will keep your energy body and physical body in harmony. Listen for Energy Medicine and Optimal Health, Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time, on Voice America Health and Wellness.
the Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com. You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Welcome back. We're glad you're with us today, and we're here talking about the difference between fathering and daddying. And we're going to talk more about that in the next two segments. And we're speaking with Alan Shedlin, Dr. David Mullen, and Galen Logan. So, you know, I'll throw this question out to each one of you, and Alan, maybe you can pipe in first, and then if the other two have things to add, I think that'd be great. You know, we already mentioned that there are 25 million waking up this morning to daddyless households. We got that from Alan's article. And I'm wanting to talk about the benefits of being a good daddy. Hopefully this broadcast can inspire some men to what you call daddy up and be there for a child, even if it isn't theirs. So if we had some of those men on the line who are really actually toying with the idea of maybe being there for a child that isn't theirs, or really resuming their role as a real daddy for kids they did biologically have, can you tell me what the benefits are, Alan, to being a good daddy?
Yeah, I should say as a preamble that when we at Real Fathers talk about fathers, we very much include father figures. So we don't think that a daddy needs to be a biological daddy. There are grandfathers. We have a lot of grandfathers in our program, a lot of uncles, a lot of big brothers, a lot of good friends, and one of the things that is encouraging is that we feel, and I certainly feel, that I get a lot out of it. And let me get to the end of what I think is good about it. I actually have three adult daughters, an adult son, and eight grandchildren. And for me, the zenith of my parenting is when nurturing my children is nourishing me. And one of the things that we know is that as we get older, we tend to lose a lot of the childlike qualities that are important in life. And I make a distinction between childlike and childish. So the childlike qualities are a sense of wonder, a willingness to take chances and to make mistakes, take chances, to look at a sunset and to be in awe of it. All of these qualities tend to diminish for most of us as we get older. Being an active and exuberant daddy enables us to be more in touch with those kind of qualities that are really necessary for us. What I've discovered in my qualitative research with dads is that they also say that they have, as fathers, an increased appreciation of their partners. I think this is extraordinarily important because often when I use the word, the newer term, dadvocacy, and I was sitting next to a woman on a flight recently who was a recent graduate in gender studies, and I thought, oh, you poor thing, you're sitting next to me, I'm going to ask you this question. So if I use the word dadvocacy, what do you think of? And her immediate response was, it must be something against women. I found myself shocked.
Wow.
And I must say saddened by it, because There is a sense often in our country, I think, and maybe elsewhere as well, that, you know, if you're for something, you must automatically be against whatever the opposite is. And actually, and my feeling is that advocacy or being a dad in no way diminishes the importance of mothers. Rather, it acknowledges and supports the importance of fathers. Mm-hmm. Moreover, given all the research that documents the advantages that accrue to children who grow up in two-parent families, actually, dadvocacy and daddying can be viewed as encouraging enhanced partnerships between fathers and mothers.
Right.
That basically, and I'm not sure that fully enough answers your question, but...
Well, everybody's going to have an opportunity to add things, so it's perfect. It doesn't need to be full and complete. And thank you, Alan. I really appreciate that. I love the sort of piece that you added in about mothers. And we're going to talk... One of my questions later on is about the difference between daddying and mothering, or mommying, I guess. So, but Galen, why don't you jump in? Do you have some things that you might say about when you're talking to young men? I mean, it seems obvious, you know, the benefits of daddying. You know, you get an enhanced relationship with your child. There's a lot more life satisfaction. But are there other things that you talk about and or that fathers report to you once they begin to make changes in the way they are with their kids?
Well, I think, you know, one thing that sort of struck me when you first posed the question about what does it look like or what is it to be a good daddy? I think one of the things that came up for me and what comes up a lot in groups with boys and men is that term good. And what does that actually mean?
Mm.
And in many cases, it's, you know, making mistakes actually can qualify as being a good daddy, if we want to use that term. It just depends on if we feel that freedom that Alan just spoke to, that childlike freedom to be in fatherhood, to be in daddyhood, and to be daddying. Many of the boys and men, and especially the men that I work with, have complexes around making mistakes, around being bad.
Mm-hmm.
And, we're very careful, and we openly discuss the fact that, you know, if we are playing the game to be good, then in many cases we are not authentic, as opposed to just being that daddy and being present. Many of the complaints that I receive from boys and girls that I've worked with over the years is that my father, my mother is phony. They're fake. And I don't like them. And, you know, when I work with the parents and I talk with the parents, you know, the parents have this deep rooted need to be a good parent.
Right.
Yet it comes across phony to the child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in our group coaching, that's one of the biggest things that we work on is like, how do you get past or put aside all of those hangups?
Mm-hmm.
I gotta be the best all the time when. Mm-hmm. You know, it's human to err and just be human and relax.
I think we're making mistakes all the time. Part of it is being honest about it, being really authentic and open and honest about the mistakes that we do make, because nobody ever goes through life not making them.
That's right. We, you know, I'll just say this and I'll close with my comment, but, one of the biggest compliments that I've gotten from my adult children, and I'm speaking of my son in particular, he called me, he was finishing up at Fisk in Nashville, and he called me up one day and he told me, thank you. And I asked him for what? And he said, thank you for being honest when you made mistakes.
Mm.
Because I had a rule where I would, you know, I didn't always want to just tell him when I shined. And when I did things right, I told my children when I made mistakes. And, you know, Daddy screwed up. Daddy screwed up. And then I told them how I screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize how much that impacted him until he called me that day.
Wow. So in an interesting way, one of the benefits of daddying is authenticity. It's being able to admit your humanity and that you make mistakes. And that's a big plus, something that most people think is a negative.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. David, let's give you an answer to jump in on that.
Well, I want to just kind of build on what Galen said, and I think that in my work with men in a therapy setting, one of the problems that they have a lot with their fathers is that the fathers do not show vulnerability, that they have this stereotypical idea that the male has to be tough and not make mistakes, never say they're sorry, etc. And so often I will have them, there was a tremendous movie that came out a couple years ago that starred Robert Duvall called The Great Santini. And it's an excellent study of the dynamics between an older son and his father. And Duvall plays this tough Marine commander who does not want his son to show any weakness at all. And there's a classic scene in the movie where there's a basketball game and his son is fouled by a guy, and Santini yells at the son and he says, "Watch it, hit him, you know, he wronged you." And of course, the his son doesn't. And I think that the men that I work with have had fathers that just aren't very vulnerable. And I think, you know, the first model of a man that we have to either identify with or rebel against is our father. And if our fathers don't show vulnerability, then I think it's very difficult for the son to show it. And this is especially in close relationships and intimacy, because in the couples I work with, a lot of the men are very scared of being intimate with their significant other than just sexually. And intimacy, you know, is a lot more than just sexual intimacy. There's, you know, emotional intimacy. And I think this kind of goes back to having modeled for them by their fathers men that just don't show, you know, their vulnerability. And I think it's a balance that the father has to do, is to be both strong and vulnerable. And that's hard for a lot of men.
Yeah, I think it really is.
If I may add just one thing.
Yes.
Can I add something?
Absolutely, Alan.
Before I started interviewing fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers, I spent a couple of years interviewing, doing focus groups with children ages 5 to 21 in like age groups. And I did 28 of those with 162 kids. And one of the questions I asked was, if you could create the most excellent dad, what would he be like? And there were 17 qualities that came up over and over again, a couple that came up at the very beginning of each time I asked the question. And one of the qualities was admit your mistakes and don't try to be perfect. So that really ties in exactly with what Galen was saying and what David was saying about admitting your mistakes.
Right.
And when I first asked that question, very interestingly, I think, in light of your question, Ariana, is I said, what would be the qualities of a perfect dad? And a 14-year-old boy with his eyeballs rolling in his head looked at me and said, "Mister, there isn't such a thing as a perfect dad. And by the way, if there was, he'd be really boring." So I changed the question to the most excellent dad, and he agreed that was an okay change to make.
Wow.
You know, I'm looking at an article that you wrote, you recently sent to me, called Creating a Patchwork Dad. And Alan, in it, you say, above all, kids want their fathers to... and you name nine things, which I'm going to name. We've got 3 minutes left to the show before we go on our next break. I'll name these, and if somebody wants to pop in with a comment, we'll have time for maybe one, maybe two comments. So here they are. To be there, really be there, not distracted by TV or other diversions. And then in parentheses, kids often describe what I call AWOL fathers, fathers who are absent without leaving, end parentheses. Number two is take them as seriously as they take themselves. Number three is respect them, even if their dads don't agree with them. Four is set fair and consistent limits. Five is demonstrate a sense of humor. Six, provide affection. Seven, to trust them. Eight, to offer recognition. And nine, to state parental expectations unambiguously.
I'd like to add a tenth.
Okay, what is it?
Is to laugh, I mean, to dance and sing in front of your children.
Oh! That's a great one to add. What has been your experience with that, Galen? We've got a couple of minutes.
Well, you know, I'm a singer, and I'm not a singer where you would want to sit back and hear me sing, but I'm a singer. I love music. So I often, you know, with my children, they would often catch me singing. And I started noticing that my children would start walking around singing. And I just have a belief about singing and dancing and that it feeds the soul. And it speaks to your personal freedom. And that's why I was motivated to say that.
That's great. I would agree with you. Yeah, my father and mother used to jitterbug, and oh, it was one of my favorite things as a kid, you know, to see the two of them on the dance floor. We'd go to weddings or any kind of parties, and they'd put on the music, and it was really, really fun to watch them dance.
It's wonderful.
So, yeah. So we're going to take a break. And so our listeners, please stay with us. We've got one more segment with these three great guys, and we're going to continue to talk about daddying. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN.
Are you a business innovator, or are you just sitting on the sidelines? Tune in every week for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP. Host Bonnie D. Graham talks to a cross-section of the movers and shakers who are leading by example. They will share best practices and innovative ideas to keep you thinking and moving along with the best. Join us for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP, Wednesday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Being here with Ariel and Shia Kane is an ordinary person's guide to modern-day enlightenment. This show is an exciting exploration which opens the door to living in the moment. Don't miss being here. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern with Ariel and Shia Kane right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in your brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Welcome back, and we're here today talking with Galen Logan Jr., with Alan Shedlin and Dr. David Mullen about fathering and daddying, the difference and the benefits. And, you know, this whole thing has brought up such a beautiful story in my own life. When my father turned 80 years old, he hadn't turned 80 yet. It was early in the year. His birthday is in September, and he'll be listening to this recording. So, hi, Dad. I called him in the early part of the year because I was traveling a bit at that time, and I wanted to put the dates on the calendar and see if he was going to have a party. And he just said, when I called him on the phone, you know, this year I don't think I want a party, even though it's a big event, the 80th birthday. He said, what I really want to do is come to California, and I want to spend some time with you. I want to have time to work out whatever it is that might be between us before I pass on. And so, you know, that was a big deal to hear him say that. And my parents aren't big travelers, and so it's not very often that they travel to come see me. And most of their kids live near them. So it was kind of a big deal, and I had some time to think about it. My father and mother both came to visit, and you know, I thought the best way to do this is really he was going to be there for a week, and every day we did something a little different, you know, walked through Muir Woods and went to the beach and explored San Francisco. And I just let it be like little droplets. You know, every once in a while, when it felt appropriate, I would bring up some particular issue. And we'd walk our way through it, and then we'd, you know, have an Italian meal or something. So it didn't feel like a heavy thing. But we had a chance to talk a lot that whole week. And on the final day that he was there, I really sort of got to the core issue, which in my case was not feeling particularly seen as an individual. You know, my parents, you know, God bless them, were taking their job so seriously as parents, and they had this idea of what a good kid should be like. And so it always felt as though they were shaping me into some kind of mold rather than seeing who I was and letting me shine forth. And, you know, so I finally got to the saying it, and I was crying, and my dad was crying, and my mom was crying, and then my father just so honestly said, you know, I just didn't know what I didn't know. You know, I didn't know. I would have given you what you needed if I'd known. And, you know, and I was able to cry with him and get what he was saying and understand it. And so that was 10 years ago. My father will be turning 90 this September. And that was a turning point in my relationship with him. And it has deepened and strengthened. I give them a call nearly every day. And I love it when he's home and he answers the phone and we have time together to talk. It's a really beautiful thing.
That's a great story.
I think that's a very beautiful, beautiful time that you express, Marianne, because a lot of people, when their loved ones, when their fathers and mothers die, they have so much unfinished business. And to be able to get some closure, to speak from your heart and him to say, I didn't know that you need that, and to hear that from him, I can only imagine how precious that was to you, because we need that from our parents. And I applaud you for having the emotional courage to do it.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, it felt like it really opened up, like, you know, I mean, I hope he lives much longer. And if he passed away tomorrow, I would feel like there's not any unfinished business between us.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's so important, because the men that I deal with a lot have a lot of unfinished business. And that was one of the reasons why I wrote this book, was because I had some unfinished business with my father. He was one who was not open like your father. And, you know, I think that it's important if a son can't do that for whatever reason with his father, it's important that he do that with someone. And I think if he has a good buddy, because men find it sometimes very difficult to talk about their feelings, and that's why I encourage men, if they have men who maybe they could go fishing with or to do something, that often those are the occasions when they can share things with. And I think it's just really, really vital, because it helps a son, I think, then to be able, hopefully, to love his father in a different way.
That's right. That's right. So, Alan,
I just wanted to say, since David mentioned earlier that wonderful movie, The Great Santini, in which Robert Duvall describes himself as a warrior without a war. And so he's, no pun intended, at sea, and he doesn't really know how to be, and so forth. It is a wonderful movie, and it's one of the movies that Real Fathers actually uses in our work. The reel that you referred to, Mariana, with R-E-E-L, is a movie reel. And so we use movies, and part of the reason for mentioning that at this point is, as David just said, sometimes it's really difficult to get into that discussion. And the idea for Real Fathers initially was for a father and his son or daughter to see a movie together that has a moral core to it that has something to do with fatherhood, like The Great Santini, for instance, and then to discuss the movie afterwards as a preamble to discussing whatever the issues they have together, because very soon in our experience, this is what happens. You begin talking about the movie, and then you begin being able to talk about yourself and your own relationship.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, in fact, knowing the work that you're doing, Galen, and the work that you're doing, Alan, I thought there might be a great, beautiful intersection. I'm glad you're bringing it up, Alan, and it would be lovely to put the two of you together. I think that might be a great, interesting way to work with fathers for you, Galen.
Yeah, I would love that.
Yeah. So,
thank you. Because I can tell Galen is not a wimp, even though he, you know, admitted it earlier on.
But when people see the show description and see a picture of him, you can really see he's not a wimp.
I wear my wimpiness with a badge of honor, like a badge of honor. And I've worked in jails and worked with some of the hardest guys that you can imagine. But when you begin to open up that room, I like to refer to it, within a man, everybody gets the license to be wimpy. And it actually becomes, it's funny, because if you're not wimpy, then something's wrong. you're actually being odd now.
That's good. I love
that. I was wondering if I could chime in, because I was touched by your story about your dad in that conversation, because, you know, a lot of us, my dad died when I was 10, and a lot of us don't get that opportunity right, to have that up and close and personal conversation with our fathers. And one of the things that I find with the boys and the men that I work with is that they've shut that door. They've shut the door to that I am not going to get that part of myself that I know I want and I desire. And they just shut the door.
Mm.
Like it'll never happen.
Mm-hmm.
Through the work that we do through Village Connect, and as you're aware, Mariana, through our coaching, what we strive to do is to open up those possibilities and to let boys and men know that you can actively go get that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It just may not be with that person.
Mm-hmm.
And it just really boils down to tapping into that part inside of you,
mm-hmm,
that says, I want it.
Mm-hmm.
I want that relationship. I've had well over 10 mentors throughout my life. And for the most part, all but one I've asked for. I've literally gone up to men and said, hey, would you be my mentor? And you know, that sounds ridiculous when you talk to some men, and I'm not going to do that. That's you know, but when you really get, and when you press a man as to how bad do you want it, you know, and especially when you begin to define what that it is,
what is that feeling to know that a man loves you, to know that a man supports you, that a man cares about what happens to you and cares about the talents that you possess and that you bring to the world. And that's just a few of very many in terms of the rewards you get from being in an authentic relationship with another man.
Well, this is a beautiful topic, and it brings up this idea of something that Alan came through. Alan, one of the articles that Alan sent was creating a patchwork dad. And so, Galen, this idea of picking somebody in your life who you want to be a mentor and walking up to them and saying, I want that. The step before that is actually beginning, it looks like from this article, and I'll have you speak about this, Alan, is beginning to notice men in your life whose qualities shine inside of you, whose qualities you want to possess, who you want to be closer to because of something they exhibit that touches your heart. So thanks for sharing that. That was really great to hear, Galen. And Alan, maybe you could talk a little bit about this patchwork dad and how it came about for you.
I will be happy to. I just want to add, because it seems germane at this moment, I mentioned that I have three adult daughters and an adult son. My three adult daughters are my biological children. My adult son is a 35-year-old Native American man who 3 years ago, at the end of my dadding interview with him, he looked at me and he said, you heard me tell you that my father wasn't around much when I was growing up. And when he was, we prayed he wasn't, because he beat us, he drank too much. And by the way, all of my interviews are confidential unless you tell me otherwise. And my son told me otherwise, so I feel it's okay to share this. He would feel it was okay to share this. And so that's what he said. You heard me say that my father wasn't around, and when he was, we prayed he wasn't. And he said, and for 30 years, I have been looking for a father, and you are him. So he is my son. And it goes right along with what Galen just said about being brave enough, having the courage to go right up and say, this is what I need, and you're it, and would you do it? So the bonus, by the way, with this son of mine, as I said to him, he has a wonderful sense of humor. The bonus of being your father at this stage of your life is that I did not need to go through your adolescence with you, which I'm sure was hell on wheels. But that being said, creating a patchwork dad is really very much what we've just all been talking about, which is none of us ever gets, I think, precisely, or very few of us ever get precisely the exact dad we wished for. And so what we can do, I personally knew my father would always be there in a pinch for me, but I needed lots more than a pinch. And so I began to look elsewhere for qualities, characteristics of men who I admired. And whether, you know, it might have been as simple as a very friendly man who, on a public bus, winked at me from across the aisle. And that was a friendly gesture. As I got older, it was things more like Galen was talking about of what I was seeking. And so it might have been a quality of my grandfather's when he helped me occasionally with my homework. Or in my case, it was also the good humor man, the ice cream man who stood on the corner outside my school and who allowed me to be his assistant. And these were people who paid attention to me, who acknowledged and seemed to value me. And there were qualities about them that I, in turn, valued. And so I think we then begin to build for ourselves what I call a patchwork dad, which we bring qualities in from other people we admire who could be mentors to us. And that becomes the dad that we always wish we had had. And I might add that the qualities can also come from women. So I don't think it has to be qualities you draw only from men in your life.
Right, right. Well, this brings us to the end of our interview, and I am just in. We could go on for another hour, it feels to me, and we've just, I don't know, touched the tip of the iceberg about what it means to be tender and authentic and available to your kids. And so I hope this interview has inspired some of those who are listening to do more to be daddies. And for kids to be open to finding mentors in their life to fill the void that isn't a bad thing that there's a void. You know, it may just be something more you're needing. So I want to thank all three of you for being on the show today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mariana, for the opportunity and for being brave enough to use that word. The forbidden D word. And I think you're now a dadvocate.
I think I am.
Yes.
All right. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you, Alan and David. It's a pleasure meeting you
thank
both.
Thank you, Galen and Alan.
Good
to be with you. Yes, thank you, Mariana. Galen, it'd be great to talk to you and figure out what trouble we can cause together.
Sure.
I think we could start some trouble. Mariana, can I throw out a website very quick?
Oh, please do. Please do, Galen.
If you'd like more information or you just want to kind of see what we're up to, you can go to www.manhood.homestead.com. That's www.manhood.homestead.com.
Alan, do you have a website you'd like to promote as well?
Yes, it's the same three W's, and then it's Real Fathers, all one word, spelled R-E-E-L, fathers.org.
And David, do you have a
and
website?
My website is www.drdavidemullen.com.
All right. And so I close with a statement that I share with every show. It is this. May all beings be happy. May all beings be safe. May all beings be free.
We hope our program inspired you this week. Please join Mariana Cacciatore for another edition of Bread for the Journey next Saturday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.